Good evening, everyone. Kim, how are you? Are you ready? Thumbs up. Risa, anything?
All set, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, excellent. And can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. And then just quickly before 6 p.m., we were expecting a full slate of assembly members. I see some of them are Corson, Morrison, Gilbert, Howe, and Assemblymember Decker. Okay. Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, November 5th, 2020 at 6 p.m. And this is a special assembly meeting for the Borough and Assembly of Borough and City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Kim, could you please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Assembly members Morrison?
Here.
Ryan Howe?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
David Powell?
Here.
Corson?
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Present. Okay. I'm going to be switching up the order of the meeting a bit here. So let's just move to conflicts of interest to start with. Does anybody have any conflicts of interest on the item for this evening? And let me just get my hands up here. All right. Anybody have a conflict? I'm not seeing anyone with their hand up. Okay. Next, I just want to talk a little bit about the process moving forward before we move into the item that we're going to be discussing tonight. So tonight's process, and we're going to be discussing the merits and options of enacting a mask mandate for folks that maybe weren't in the last meeting. We had a presentation with state staff, including Commissioner Crum, regarding the... If everyone can make sure that your computer or you're muted, I'd appreciate that. We met with Commissioner Crum and other state staff regarding the current situation within the state and where we are at. And we had an update from our head of our EOC, Captain Spray. And at the end of her update, she requested that the assembly look at a mandatory mask mandate. So at that point, we scheduled a meeting for tonight. We tried to give as much notice to the public as possible, but also recognizing that the EOC was looking to do something fairly soon. So we put it to tonight, Thursday, with an opportunity for folks to see the mandate. I think, believe that came out on Monday or possibly Tuesday. So tonight we're going to hear from Captain Spray first. And she is going, or sorry, we're going to hear from Lisa first. And Lisa's going to talk about a few of the elements that are going into this process, including the legality of it and some other issues from the city standpoint. Captain Spray will be speaking on behalf of the EOC, and she'll be going through the various things that the EOC has seen and the concerns that they have and the hope that the end goal of what they're looking for out of a mandatory mask mandate. And then at that point, I'm going to be doing persons to be heard. So I've moved persons to be heard after Captain Spray speaks. I encourage everyone that is speaking tonight to really listen to what Captain Spray is saying. She will be answering, I think, some of the questions that I saw, at least in the written letters, with her presentation. And then we'll do persons to be heard, and then we'll have assembly members' questions and comments. And then at the end of that, once we've gone through that, we're going to be directly requesting what the assembly is looking to do. If we have four members of the assembly that are willing to see this brought forward in our next scheduled assembly meeting, which is will be next Tuesday, and then that would be when we would that would be the first opportunity to have an actual vote on it. So if there is no will of the assembly to move it forward, then we won't put it on the Tuesday agenda and beat it back up again. So that's the process right now. And at this point, I'm going to ask the city manager to start us off and bring us down the road. Well, sorry, one more thing before we start, and I'll do a reminder afterwards. First, to the assembly, please remember to speak through the chair and to not be doing direct crosstalk amongst each other. It gets confusing, and it's really not a good decorum for the assembly, for people speaking under persons to be heard. I fully expect that we'll have a diverse array of opinions on this topic, and you are encouraged to express your opinion and your thoughts on that. What I will not accept is anyone attacking anybody on the assembly or other community member or anybody on the EOC personally. You are more than welcome to share your ideas, but we're going to keep it friendly and professional as we move along. So with that, Lisa, if you wouldn't mind kicking us off and getting us queued up here for moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My role in this introduction is to just set the tone for why we're here this evening. And I'd like to remind the community that, you know, COVID numbers around us all over the state and around us regionally are continuing to increase. And we ourselves here in Wrangell just saw our first positive case in 6 weeks. And although we hope it won't happen, it would be irresponsible for us to think that an outbreak in Wrangell is not possible. So it's incumbent upon us to hope for the best and plan for the worst. And in that regard, what we're asking is that a mandatory mask mandate is about being proactive in one small way so that we don't have to be reactive in several big ways that would have a significant impact on the community. This is about considering the least of all inconveniences to everyone in the community so that we can maintain a completely unrestricted economic and personal activity level in Wrangell. And so that's the tone under which the EOC is asking for the assembly and the community to consider going to a mandatory mask mandate. It's a small inconvenience so that we can continue to enjoy the maximum degree of openness in our businesses and the maximum degree of openness in our personal activities and our lifestyle here in Wrangell. And with that, unless anybody's got any questions, I'd like to introduce Captain Spray to go through her presentation on information. And following her presentation, we will get into the actual proposed mandate itself, and then we'll talk about the legality and the enforceability of that item as well. So with that, Mr. Mayor, if it's okay, we'll have Captain Spray begin her informational presentation.
Please, Captain Spray, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor, Assembly, and members of the community. This information tonight comes to you from the Wrangell EOC, those members. On the EOC include our city manager, Lisa Von Bergen, Mayor Steve Persunka. Our PIO is Kim Lane. Carol Rushmore is our economic development. Our fire chief, Tim Buness. Our police chief, Tom Radke. Steve Miller, the harbor master. And mitigation and plan review, Jamie Roberts. And myself, Dorianne Spray, fire EMS training officer. And I'm serving as our EOC manager for our COVID-19 pandemic. We're here tonight to discuss the merits and options to enact a mask mandate. I've been asked to speak on the behalf of the EOC, and I'm going to go through some numbers and statistics, some graphs, and share some words from leading health professionals. But what I want you to take away is that in the end, we are sharing this information and having this discussion with one thing in mind. We are all in this together. The ultimate goal and outcome any of us desire is success. When this pandemic is declared over, we want our little secluded community of Wrangell to have been successful, have worked together and protected each other with every tool available. help us help you. We've been at this for 239 days, and in that time, I know we've all grown tired of this topic, yet this is not the time to let our guard down. Initially, the federal and state governments imposed some strict measures to slow the spread and try to figure out what exactly we were dealing with. This did give us, as a community, some time to boost our PPE and readdress our pandemic plan, but we also had to shut down our economy. Representing the EOC, I personally had to make a big request of our bar owners to close their doors one day before the governor enacted health mandates, closing all bars. This was not an easy task. Strict measures were taken, and some states were not so lucky to have a mild couple first months. Many looked to Alaska to see what it is we were doing. We were an example for others. As time has gone on, the state has relaxed mandates and is strongly recommending mitigation measures, having educated everyone on what has been shown through scientific studies and epidemiological trends to help reduce the transmission of this virus. Alaska is no longer reporting low case counts. We are in an acceleration phase, and we're not the only state with increasing numbers. These are on a sharp upsurge throughout the nation and other countries. Recently, and most concerning, our hospitalizations are also on a rise. We really need the community to understand the importance of this on a larger level so that we can bring it back to this discussion tonight on a local level. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. The information that I'm going to bring to you tonight was included in the Department of Health and Social Services weekly update, which include numbers from October 25th to the 31st. Again, bringing it to our the grand view, that larger level. This slide is the alert level. Levels that are determined by the case count average over the last 14 days for the state. Both northern and southern southeast are dangerously close to moving into a high alert level. I put the enlarged picture to the left as a reminder that we need to think about what's going on in Anchorage as well. Some may look at the larger statewide picture and initially assume that we don't need to worry about what's going on up there. However, what happens in Anchorage doesn't stay in Anchorage. Many Wranglites travel to Anchorage on a semi-regular basis for medical, work, family, et cetera. We must watch these areas as closely as we do other communities next door, like Ketchikan, Petersburg, Juneau, and Sitka. So as you see on the left-hand side, I've included Southeast along with the Anchorage there. Wrangell was included in Northern Southeast. So when we see the alert levels come out, we're included along with Haines, Petersburg, Sitka, Skagway, Angoon, Yakutat, and Hoonah. And as of today, given the legend there at the bottom, our northern southeast level is at a 9.08. In this next slide, shows the epidemiological curve, the daily case count numbers for Alaska. The yellow depicts cases as they've come in from the date of onset. The blue dotted line represents the predicted daily case trajectory. And in many cases, we've already been exceeding the projected case counts. This updated model for Alaska's cases are expected to accelerate over the next week and are expected to double in the next 2 to 3 weeks, if not sooner. For the fifth week in a row, more cases were reported of Alaskans with COVID-19 than in any other previous week. Taking a glimpse at our statewide bed availability, this slide shows, again, the state in its entirety. Though many of these numbers may seem or can be misleading, as this graph shows all statewide beds. I say misleading because not all of these beds can accept transfers, such as numbers of beds in Kotzebue. Wrangell isn't going to be transferring patients COVID or not, to Kotzebue. So when we look at this number, it can be, again, misleading. However, Kotzebue is looking at Anchorage just as we are. And right now, Anchorage is full, which you'll see on this next slide. So currently, Anchorage ICU capacity is over 75%. And as of today, hospitals were told that today they were not receiving patient transfers. Now that is very fluid and fluctuates on an hourly basis, but the trend that we're seeing right now, we're remaining in the red throughout the last week. So to move on to a little bit closer here, Southeast Pacific. As you see the numbers, we don't have a lot of ICU beds available in Southeast, and we know that. Locally, our hospital has availability, but again, there's concern for transfers. For any patient, non-COVID patient, COVID patient, the ICU beds are limited, the ones that we as a community transfer to on a regular basis. Currently, the state has definite concerns with their healthcare capacity. They've put out an RFI, actually, a request seeking medical personnel. They have a major shortage. The entire nation is surging with COVID right now, and staffing has become a real concern. So hospitalizations within the state, again, we're at a record high for the second week. Though right now we have 89 Alaskans hospitalized with COVID-19. Each of those take a tremendous amount of staffing. Healthcare staffing is, again, very fluid and changes quickly. Specifically, today, Petersburg issued a media release reporting that their medical center activated a red status as a precaution, and they've canceled all non-emergent patients due to an identified staff member testing positive. This happens in a blink of an eye, it seems, and essential services are being brought to a halt. This next slide is the total confirmed beds that are occupied, and the graph is, you know, showing the trend that we're on from April moving forward. So increase in occupied hospital beds. The spike thankfully didn't happen in March as anticipated. However, it's been on a gradual increase and is now in a significant spike. Along with this surge is the staffing, again, that is necessary with each occupied hospital bed is staffing that are needed. Additional staff are exhausted, just like you and I, every part of this pandemic. But we must find ways to lower this number. We must find ways to help those who help us. Early in this pandemic, I had a member of the community say, "Why do I need to wear a mask? This is a health thing. This is you guys," referring to EMS. And I said it then, and I will continue to say this. It's not just healthcare. It's going to take everyone to do their part. EMS, fire, law enforcement, the grocery store clerks, the garbage man, our harbor employees, our youth. We're all in this together, and not one of us want to be an additional tick mark on this graph representing a hospitalization for COVID or for any other reason. The status in our nearby communities has fluctuated significantly over this last week, and unfortunately, the picture is not good. The next three slides, demonstrate what's going on in the communities around us. The status for these communities has deteriorated three times already this week. It's accelerating around us faster than the state or anyone anticipated. As you can see, they're having to take additional measures and put in strict speed bumps, so to speak, in place for bars, restaurants, gyms, and hair salons, placing some very strict mitigations on the communities and the economy once again. There are folks who will say even with masks, we can get there to that point of having to close things down. And this may be true, but what I think is wise is that we try some preventative measures first, and then we can say we tried. Again, this is Juneau, a picture of what's going on in their community. They are at a level 3 in a high, and they have one more level to get to, which is very high. And they've had to put on, put in those speed bumps to try to slow the spread. The next situation is Sitka. As many of you know, Sitka is our hub hospital that we send our patients to. And they have gone into a high recently, actually within the last 2 days. It's an example of strict measures being put in place as their case counts increased and they have identified community spread in their community. The next slide is Ketchikan. Again, in a high. Ketchikan is, they're in a high level. They had to enact some strict measures, closing down local businesses again. They've also had to put strict measures on their city and reduce their city staff to 50% or working from home. Unfortunately, Petersburg, I don't have a risk assessment or any pictures of that. They haven't developed a local risk assessment, but they have put a health alert regarding intrastate travel to reduce the spread. And as I stated earlier, they had an issue amongst or within their hospital. So they've had to enact some strict measures there. So most of the science and medical community are supporting the use of masks, including Governor Dunleavy. He urged Alaskans to renew efforts to wear masks, practice social distancing, avoid gatherings, and wash their hands until a vaccine is available. When asked why, though he believes that masks are important, he hasn't mandated mask use, he stated that he believes this type of a mandate is best handled at a local level. This is that local level, and this is the time to discuss what we as a community can do to mitigate this very infectious virus. So, why now? The EOC has brought this request forward to the Assembly because we think this is serious given the situation within the state. I know there are some that feel that this has taken away their freedoms or life choices. COVID has asked all of us to make life choices. The mask is not about closing your business or taking your freedoms. It's a mitigation measure, and mitigation measures are about keeping people healthy so we can keep businesses open, keep schools open, so we can keep moving forward. No one tool is 100% perfect, but if we try to use every tool at our disposal, hand washing, mask wearing, social distancing, and staying home when we are sick, we can say we tried. We did everything we could to keep this virus at bay, and our numbers are low. As quoted from Dr. Hennessy, an infectious disease epidemiologist with UAA and former official of CDC regarding mask mandates, politicizing it is not, we're not doing it because some people might be mad at you. That's not the kind of leadership we need right now. What we need is a courageous stance. He added, "We've got public health leaders in the United States and around the world saying this is a good idea. It's safe, it's effective, it's cheap. It doesn't put anyone out of a job. It doesn't close businesses. It doesn't hurt anyone. It just helps protect people from getting infected or spreading the virus around. There's an impression that bringing a mask mandate forward, we are taking things away from individuals in this community, when the goal for each of us is to keep what we have, to keep our schools, churches, and our economy open, keep our essential services and our healthcare open, and more importantly, keep us healthy." And with that, I will pass this on to Lisa to explain a little more what we have in mind from the EOC.
Thank you very much, Captain Spray. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Captain Spray. I'd like to bring everybody's attention to the packet, if I could. Inside the packet is the community's risk matrix. Captain Spray just showed some snapshots of the risk matrices that are enacted in other communities nearby us. And I wanted to bring everybody's attention to level 2, given the situation in Wrangell and given the situation outside of Wrangell particularly, we believe our community to be at risk level 2 right now. And the mitigation measures that are on level 2 include masks being worn indoors in public and recommended when outdoors if 6 feet of separation can't be maintained. There are a number of other mitigation measures on level 2 as well that are very similar to those items you saw being enacted in the other communities. And what Wrangell wants to do is not go there. We want to take the least invasive option, the least invasive tool that we have to help keep the virus at bay, and that is asking everybody to wear a mask when they're indoors. And we hope that that will keep us from having to move into any other kind of mitigation efforts whatsoever. So we are trying to take the least invasive option that we can here. The other thing I'd like to do now, I think Kim is sharing the document here. You can scroll down to level 2 there. Kim, thanks. Keep going. This is the list of mitigation measures here, and thank you. That's level 2 where Kim is pointing right now. And the number one thing that is listed under level 2 is that masks, this is a recommendation, that masks shall be worn indoors in public and recommended when outdoors when you can't maintain 6 feet of separation. As you can see, there are a whole host of other items here, and the EOC is not interested in recommending any of those right now. We are not ready to do anything. As I indicated at the beginning of this presentation, our sole goal with a mask mandate recommendation is keeping us from having to do any other mitigation efforts in our community. That's why we're making a recommendation of this one. And so what I'd like to do now, Mr. Mayor and members of the public, is go over the proposed mask mandate and what it entails. And Kim, if you don't mind sharing that, thank you. You can scroll down to the next page. So you can see here the initial requirement is that all individuals must wear a mask or cloth face covering over their nose and mouth when they are indoors in public settings or communal spaces outside the home. And this would include, if you go down to section B here, places like grocery stores, the pharmacies, retail stores, restaurants, cafes, bars, unless you are in the midst of eating or drinking. If you are in any form of public transportation, if you're in a personal care facility, a child care facility, a communal area in an office, or in an elevator, those sorts of things. Employers would be responsible for making sure that their employees have masks to wear. However, employers are not responsible for making sure that the public has masks. Just want to clarify there. There are obviously exceptions here, and these are the exceptions. Any child under the age of 2, any individual for whom wearing a mask or a cloth face covering would be contrary to health or safety for a variety of different medical conditions, be they physical or mental. Individuals who are speech impaired or hard of hearing. Individuals who have trouble breathing. If you would scroll down a little bit more, please, Kim. Individuals who are exercising. Individuals who are incarcerated in police custody, in a courtroom, etc., because they will have particular guidance. Individuals performing an activity that cannot be conducted safely if they're wearing a mask. And then musicians, presenters, ministers, other people communicating to an audience or group under certain circumstances, so long as physical distancing is possible. The other thing I want to clarify is that if someone says they have a medical condition or a disability that keeps them from being able to wear a mask, they are not going to be required to present proof of that. So if they are not wearing a mask and they are questioned about it, they are not required to show proof. All they need say is, I have a medical condition that keeps me from being able to wear a mask. When it comes to enforcement, the city and borough of Wrangell will take whatever measures we need to enforce the mask mandate if it goes into effect. What we are recommending right now is that if someone is not wearing a mask, that they be subject to a $25 fine, be a simple ticket that would be issued if someone's not wearing a mask. And that would be enforced by the police department. So there have been questions regarding the legality of the city and borough of Wrangell being able to institute a mask mandate. And Wrangell is a home rule borough, a home rule municipality. And I would like our attorney, Joe Levesque, please, if he would, Mr. Mayor, if that's okay with you, to have Joe explain why Wrangell has the authority to institute a mask mandate.
Yes, Mr. Levesque, thank you for joining us tonight. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, all you have to really do is turn to your charter where it says powers of the borough. It's section 1-5. And it says the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska shall have all the powers, functions, rights, privileges, franchises, and immunities of every name and nature, whatever, which a home rule borough may have under the constitution and laws of the state. The borough may exercise all powers not prohibited by law or by this charter, and the powers of the borough shall be liberally construed. The enumeration or mention of particular powers by this charter shall not be deemed to be exclusive or limited. So, you know, it's the beauty of home rule municipalities that, unlike, let's say, you know, let's go home rule boroughs. Unlike second class boroughs are not, they don't come in with health powers. But home rule boroughs do come in with health. They have all the health powers, they have everything. For a second class borough to assume health powers, they actually have to have an election and the voters have to declare that the borough now has health powers. So we're not restricted by that. And as Captain Spray, I think, said, the governor has said that every community, whether it's home rule, whether it's second class, first class cities, whoever it is, every community has the power, is what the governor says. But what I'm telling you is legally, home rule municipalities definitely have the power. And a lot of the second class municipalities are not mandating any kind of a mask mandate, because the voters haven't given them the health powers. So I don't know if I disagree with the governor or not, but if I was a second class borough, I think I would be afraid of being sued. Whereas a home rule municipality, just as you look at Anchorage or Juneau, they have the health powers and they can do a mask mandate.
Mr. Mayor, if I may just clarify with the borough attorney.
Mr. Levesque, are you still there?
Oh, yes, I still am.
So just to clarify, Joe, as a home rule borough, anything not specifically excluded by law, we have the power to do, correct?
That's correct, Lisa. And in Title 29, there's actually a section that's section 2910-200, and it has limitation of home rule powers. And it says only the following provisions of this title apply to home rule municipalities as prohibitions on acting otherwise than as provided. And none of those provisions that they're saying do apply to home rule municipalities under Title 29 have anything to do with health powers. And so in other words, yes, the Title 29 says that unless it's prohibited by Title 29 or it's against the law, home rule municipalities can do anything they want.
Thank you for responding to that. Mr. Mayor, if I could just again speak to the enforcement here for a moment.
Yes, please.
So Wrangell wants to take a common sense approach to this. We're asking everybody to wear a mask indoors as was outlined under this draft mandate. And we want to work with people, as it says here, brief removal of a face covering such as is necessary to eat, drink, scratch, and itch. do things like that. Again, if you have a medical reason for not wearing a mask, we want to make accommodations for that. But for those who have the ability to wear a mask, we're going to ask that you do. And the police are going to be asked to enforce that mandate. And I know there's been some questions asked about whether the police department has the capacity to do that. And Chief Radke is online, and I'd like him to speak to that, please.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Chief Radke.
You muted Jim. Yourself, Chief.